Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at Northwest.com.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
Allen steps up in the pocket, going to take off and run. Has the first down and more. To the 40, to the 35, 30. Breaks away. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Josh Allen.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me?
Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Look. Up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Josh Allen.
Go Bills.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I had a quick thought there. So, great work there, Josh Schmidt, putting together the open for Josh Allen, Superman. Here's a thought. Chris Brown mentioned the safety that gets taken to the end zone by Josh went high. And, like, that's a mistake. You're not going to tackle Josh high. Counterpoint. It's harder to get jumped over. You're the safety. You're thinking,
Wow. Do you think he would have jumped over
the thing
score?
That flashes in your mind is, Listen, I got two choices. I can either just get taken into the end zone.
Yeah.
Or I can get jumped over to have him go to the end zone. I'm not stopping this man. You know what? I'd rather just wrap him in tackle than get posterized as he leaps over me. Just a thought. You know, if you go a little bit low, you go for his waist, he's going over you. You go for shoulders, he's going through you. Josh Allen. The Bills win 30-21. Asking you your takeaways, your thoughts. The Bills are 9-2. Mm-hmm. Allen's the MVP favorite. All right. Sal does arrow up, arrow down. The pieces at our website, WGR550.com. We haven't spent too much time on any really arrow downs from this game. I'll give you one that I thought.
Ooh, what was an arrow down? I mean, Tyler Bass.
Bass missing an extra point. I'm always guilty of this, and I know that. Self-awareness matters. I think they ran way too much. They ran their running backs way too much. 19 for 49. Mm-hmm. It's something that teams are doing against the Chiefs, and I think it's one of the reasons the Chiefs have been 9-0. Teams are keeping the Chiefs in games. And EPA per play, the Bills running the ball, they're brutal. James Cook did not run well. Ray Davis did not. Ty Johnson not. You know who did? Josh Allen. Like, the Bills...
Even Allen was 11 for 29 before the final run.
But his EPA per play... Sure, the last one is a big one. But running the ball, I thought they ran it too much. And they have a quarterback that gets them out of everything. He is a league MVP candidate. He's an all-timer. But what he really does more than... I mean, we probably don't even understand it the way that we should. I include myself here. The things he bails you out from on these third and nines and third and sevens. And they face third and long. And... give up, run, second and 10, run, third and 9.
Mm-hmm.
And under no circumstances should the Bills run on second and 10 in this game.
Right.
I thought they ran it too much. I always think they run it too much, and I want Josh Allen dropping back as much as possible. The third and 2 that made it a fourth and 2 was a run. Like, the whole day, you hadn't done anything in the run game. So is it nitpicking? Sure. I thought they ran too much in the playoff game. They lost to the Chiefs at the end of last year. I think they are too run-heavy, but... they get away with it right now, and if it does, in fact, help them get the Chiefs to bite on play action later, then okay, I understand that. There's plenty of data to suggest you don't really have to run it that much to get play action to work. I think they could have dialed up play action more. And you know, I'm not sitting here complaining, I wish they had won by more. I'm not mad. But if we're looking for a thing that during the game I'm thinking committing to a run game that's not working, it's funny about football, Joe. No matter what, if you win a game like that, people are going to say, well, it was because you committed to the run game. The run game actively hurts your chances to win.
Before Allen's last run, this includes him, before Allen's the last run of the game, 26-yard touchdown, before that play, the Bills had 30 carries for 78 yards.
Yeah, these are wasted plays.
Yeah.
A lot of them. So I am always going to be nervous. They're running it too much. And yesterday, it was a perfect weather game. Yeah. I'm not in a situation where I'm afraid of Mahomes and have to keep him off the field.
Yep.
And they scored 30 points, so they're fine.
I'll say this, though. The reason I am not as concerned about it is because I think the team on the other side does it more. I think the Chiefs commit to the run more than they should.
That's right. We had Chiefs fans sitting in front of us. There were a lot of Chiefs fans at this game. And I had a chance to talk to a couple. It's like, oh, first time here? Yes. And something we kind of thought, the Chiefs are not here that much. If you're a Chiefs fan that wants to go on the road, like, let's go to Buffalo. We haven't been there in a long time outside of the playoff game. And the row in front of us was Chiefs fans and then our row of Bills fans. And it was just nonstop grumbling, both of us. Yeah. Why are they running so much? The Chiefs would say the same thing. Stop handing it off.
Yeah.
Why do they keep giving the ball to Kareem Hunt?
Hunt had like one good run the whole day.
His EPA was negative.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they commit to that.
Running backs with a negative EPA in this game. Hunt, Cook, Davis, Johnson.
So basically all of them that touch the ball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, let's see if we can give our stud quarterback negative down and distance situations and watch him work his way out of this.
Well, I wonder, I don't have this in front of me. This is kind of a feel thing. Didn't it feel like the Bills were living all day on Allen executing third and longs? I mean, third and nine, he gets it to on the first drive of the game. Oh, no, wait, this is at the end of the game. It's the Shakir play where he takes a big hit and it looked like he was limping off the field, but Shakir came back. Third and nine on a rope to Shakir, who catches it and takes a big hit for the first. There was another one where Allen is starting to run forward and he throws the ball on a rope to Shakir again for a first. There was the Cooper one down the field. There was the pass interference call that they got on third down. I mean, the Bills, it felt like throughout the day they were really getting away with third and seven, third and nine.
Here's a third and six.
And Allen just saying, yeah, it doesn't matter. We're going
to
get the first anyway.
Allen to Samuel for 15 is third and eight.
Yep. The third and nine on their second to last touchdown drive, the pass interference on Samuel. Samuel goes up one-handed. He kind of gets tackled, dragged down. That's a third and nine that gives you a first down, and then you end up scoring a touchdown at the end of that drive.
Yeah.
So, you know, nitpicky. Sure. Again, I'll point out, they're the pass-happiest playoff team in the league right now.
Right.
So the league is doing it. And I feel confident right now that they have a passing game that works. And I also say I'm not super concerned about it is what their last drive was. Did not like the third and two run call at all. But otherwise, they had a 12-play, 70-yard drive. With the ball against the Chiefs with 7:53 to go, and they threw the ball 10 times. You could actually say they threw the ball. No, it was 10 times. I'm counting already the Allen scramble. It was a called pass play. They called passes to put that game on ice. And that gives me confidence about what they think their offense is. That they're thinking right now heading into the bye week, like, man, yeah, we do like our run game, but Cooper and now Samuel might be helping us a little bit, and Coleman and Kincaid will come back hopefully eventually. Knox is making some big plays here and there. Like, we got a good pass game now.
Yep.
Let's lean into it.
And some of the passes are extended run game. The screens might as well be runs. That's where you run the ball really well.
Right.
When you throw it out.
They threw a Knox screen that was basically, I mean, that was the equivalent to me of a run play.
Yep.
It was a first and 10. They love to run that play, right? Like, I don't think their pass rate's very high on first and 10. But that play had not been working all day, and I think we saw it broken down that it was more of an RPO, that Allen could have handed the ball off to Cook, and he didn't.
And
maybe he never would have. He threw it out to Knox, and it's like a six-yard gain.
Yeah, we end up splitting things between, like, run or pass, this or that.
And sometimes the play call is both.
Right.
And that play was both. It was an RPO.
And what I would say is, I might want to split plays into two categories. Can Josh do something awesome or not? And the quick screens when it's like snap throw, that is a Josh can't do anything awesome. The offense has to execute around him, and that's okay. Like they've been pretty good at that stuff. Shakir yards after catch when Josh finds him, and you know they've schemed it up pretty well. But sometimes I just want to make sure I'm getting him enough opportunities to be the genius that he is. And handoffs, there's no chance of that. And quick screens, you know, you're obviously limiting his chances to do that. So anyway, great win. Defense looked good. Offense looked good. Four punts. You can talk all you want about two turnovers. Four punts. Yeah. Four punts. Those are failed drives. Takeaways are sexy. Punts are just as good.
A couple of sacks that forced them into that, too.
Steven in Florida. Hey, Steven.
Hey, good morning, guys. really phenomenal game. You know, I was thinking about some while I was listening to you guys. What started and ended this game?
Interceptions.
Yeah, they intercepted Mahomes at the beginning and at the end. And I think that really speaks loudly of the caliber of this team. You know, of course, we know before this game, Mahomes had the most interceptions, 9. So I was expecting they would probably get a couple more against him. But I wanted to say this, too. You know, you were talking about the running game, and it was frustrating. You're seeing, you know, Cook getting 1-2 yards. And, you know, he didn't have very much for, I think, 20 yards for the game, maybe. And Josh had the most yards from scrimmage and a run, 26. But here's what I wanted to say. Even though they didn't rack up many yards running, they got 3 touchdowns running. Cook 2 and Allen 1. So it doesn't always have to be racking up the yards. And I agree with you. I would have liked to have seen them pass more because they were very effective doing so. And also I wanted to say that, you know, with Kincaid being out, you know, it showed the caliber of the Bills again because they were able to step up and still advance down the field against the Chiefs with the passing game. And the last thing I wanted to say is kudos to the defense. And I looked this up. 8 of the 9 wins by the Bills this season have been 30 points or more each game. And the defense has played a huge role in that, sometimes scoring a lot of those points. So I got to give a lot of credit to the defense, but to this team overall. And Josh Allen is just amazing, and I hope he continues on and gets MVP this year because he definitely deserves it. And one more quick thing. I'm hopeful for the first time in a long time of Buffalo going all the way to the Super Bowl this year. We've had our hopes dashed by KC in the postseason. But this game, you know, you guys were talking about this, and Chris Brown and Eric Wood and Sal Capaggio were talking about this a couple days or before the game yesterday. You know, people are saying, well, this game, it really doesn't matter if we beat KC in the regular season. It's in the postseason. But they said no, because this game is huge and it is necessary to give the Bills the lift that they need. And psychologically, if they end up playing KC in the postseason, I think this is going to weigh heavily in their favor.
Well, we'll see on that front. I don't know about the psychological impact of it, but do we feel more confident than we have in past years? It's probably up there with a couple of them. More, obviously, than last year. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Because last year they were 6-6. It's probably comparable to when they were running through the league on that win streak. Is that 21? I mean, they're 9-2. What's the win streak at right now? We don't do this with the Bills a lot because they often have win streaks. But they have not lost since that Houston game, and that means they are on a 6-game win streak right now. And they're going to be favored in every game the rest of the way except for the Detroit game. So, yeah, I think the one seed really is it for me. That could be the big change, the one thing that they've never had before. And the benefit of that bye week, I think, could be huge. And I really do feel like they have a real shot at it now. And obviously, if they lost yesterday, it would have been basically 0. I think 1% in New York Times. So It keeps the juice alive for the rest of the season to me, because I don't know what they would be playing for, you know, to find out what they are, and you know, for the playoffs, the 2 seed versus the 3. Just it would have, I don't know, been a huge downer. It wouldn't have been, you know, critical to their season had they lost that game yesterday, but I think it would have been a huge downer had they lost that game yesterday.
Yep. 803-0550. If you're the Chiefs, one thing you might be pointing to, like third down defense, I had this stat going into the game. Both these teams' third down defense is middle of the road, like low middle of the road. I've got all the Bills' third down looks that they had here. How many third and six or more?
Yeah.
11.
Wow. How many did they convert?
Well, I could go back and find out which ones okay, they did
but they had
convert.
But they had 11 total?
11 of third and six or more.
Yeah.
Like, here's the game log of third downs. Third and 6, 8, 9, 8, 9, 2, 9, 1, 11, 7, 3, 7, 9, 1, 9, 2.
Yeah.
Like, they were putting themselves in bad third downs. And they've got a quarterback who's a freak show. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes we... If I was another fan base looking at this team, watching this team, I would be saying their quarterback bails them out of everything. And in this game, he did a lot of that. He bailed them out of... Bad situations where the run game put them in third and 8.
Yeah. Well, on that, like, the Chiefs, we were talking about this yesterday a little bit. The Chiefs have such a good third down rate, in part because they have so many third and manageables.
Yeah, they use third and short.
They have so many third and shorts. Who's the more dangerous team right now for those situations? Because they've been the top two for this, where, man, third and 10, you're still not confident you're going to get them off the field. Right now, those two teams you saw yesterday, who do you think's more dangerous for that? Because we've been talking about the Chiefs' lack of weapons for 2 years now. And, I mean, they better off than where they were a year ago. Like, without Rice, like, that's huge. Hopkins is fine. Hopkins is good. But I don't think he's given them what Rice was giving them.
No, they miss him a lot.
So it very much is Kelce, and then, okay, game to game, we'll see. Worthy disappears for games at a time. Sometimes he's a game like he did yesterday, though. And Hopkins will disappear for games, but sometimes he has a game like he did against Tampa. So, like, all right, it's kind of hit or miss. And more with the Bills, I'm growing in confidence that, like, okay, this the personnel, in part. Like, I think the coaching, you can always evaluate Brady on this. You always have Josh Allen for this. But every game that passes, Cooper back now, and you just think about what Samuel did yesterday, I'm very optimistic about where their pass game could be by the time they reach the playoffs. Like, above Kansas City. Above Baltimore. Above Houston without Diggs, even, if you wanted. Houston, there's a big question right now about whether Slowick has the answers to defensive coordinators putting him in a box.
We'll see.
We'll see on that.
Nico Collins returning is going to help them quite a bit.
But, like, you know, I wouldn't put them there now, but I am growing in confidence for the Bills' passing game when it comes to the rest of the AFC when we head to the playoffs.
Steve on a cell phone. Hey, Steve.
Morning, guys. Real quick, I don't want to beleaguer the refs. I am so sick of defensive players punching at the ball and actually contacting other players. I think Josh Allen got punched in the face yesterday on one of those. And what's with the face mask? Seems like every week or twice a week we're seeing a face mask and the refs are missing it. But my real point is this. I just cannot believe, and it's not today, but it is in the near past, the criticism that Sean McDermott would even get. Now, I firmly believe you need to keep a guy honest. You need to be somewhat professionally critical. But dare I go back to Dick Duron, Rex Ryan, Doug Marone, Mike Mularkey, Greg Williams, Chan Gailey? We got a guy that develops B players to become starters in the NFL. We got a guy, and it helps because of salary. It helps because of draft choices. We got a program that develops young men into starters on a quality football team. No, we haven't gotten the big one yet. We haven't won the AFC Championship. But let's go back 20 years ago when a guy named Andy Reid was under the same subjectivity, and then he finally didn't bring Philadelphia there, but he brought Kansas City to the promised land. Now is our time. Sean McDermott will bring us to the promised land because we have a double-A coach running our football program.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe. It's totally fair to wonder if the coach has what it takes. It's totally fair. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't know if, like, I'm not telling you that he's bad, like, but it's never the right point to say Geron. It's
no.
Who could coach the team instead, and would that coach get better results? I don't have a long list of names for you. That's always the point I want to bring up when people say, you know, somebody else should do it. Like, who? You can go ahead and give me a name. Who do you want it to be? But I don't want to go to the comparison of, you know, Chan Gailey. Why would I do that? Why would I pick bad coaches? The idea would be to hire a good coach, not just anybody in his place. Not to say, like, you're wrong, just I'm going to defend the right of anybody to wonder about the coach. It's how it works. Lots of coaches get questioned. It's a little bit like the Josh Allen overrated point. 11 NFL players listed him as overrated. 11 NFL players.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the narrative is he was voted the most overrated player by 11 people.
Right.
11 people said that guy's overrated. And they all probably thought he was, like, the fifth best quarterback. Maybe they think Burrow is better. I don't know. It's okay. It's okay to question people whether or not they're going to get it done. It's why we watch, because we don't know. If we all knew they were going to win a Super Bowl, we'd be less stressed.
Yeah. Here is can we go back to the third and long thing for a moment? You mentioned they had 11, was it third and six or longer?
Yeah.
Here's something for you. Every Bills touchdown drive yesterday, they faced a third and nine or longer.
Yeah, like that.
All of them. Every drive, they scored a touchdown on yesterday. They converted a third and nine or longer. That's nuts.
For me, that is, they are, in a game like this, they overcame their run game.
Right. That's exactly what happened.
They overcame an overcommitment to the run game because their quarterback is, you know, a freak show. And, the coordinator's drawn up nice plays. They got easy button throws. They get Shakir in space. He makes guys miss. Like, I'm not too worried about it right now, but there are games where it might become an issue. Overcommitment to that, not giving – I don't want my season to end wondering, should Josh have handled the ball, like, five more times? Would it have made a difference? Like, that's what I'd be worried about. But, again, it's November. And in this game, he did carry it 12 times, like he always does. 803-0550. Thanks for the phone calls. Good stuff. All good stuff. You know, like, Chiefs fans can, I mean, they can all say, like, oh, it's the Bills Super Bowl and everybody's celebrating too much. I don't get the sense that anybody's, you know, celebrating like crazy. It's just solid win. Team looks good. They might win the Super Bowl. Maybe. And if they don't, of course, we will ask why they didn't. It's tough to win it.
Third and eight or longer, by the way.
Okay.
Every touchdown drive, they had a third and eight or longer. Yep.
And they scored four touchdowns.
Yep.
All right.
It's a great day from the passing game.
Yeah.
Great day.
I like it when Josh Allen has the ball in his hands. Why not, like, six more times a game? He did have 86% of their offense yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He got the 40 attempts.
Good. Yeah, they had a lot of plays. They had 71 plays.
Yeah, that's a good number. That's a good number. What else happened in that game yesterday? Other than Bill Cowher going through a table, which I still think was one of the most incredible things of the day. See how high he gets up? How old is he? 68? He had, like, the full wrestling... Is that the people's elbow that he had?
Who?
Cowher.
Oh, yeah.
He also smacked the back of his head on the ground, got right back up. The CBS crew should do that more often, by the way.
Yeah.
Game Day doesn't have trademark on going to location. They should go to Green Bay next.
Yeah, why not?
Or just come back to Buffalo every week.
803-0550, more of your calls on the other side. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Three-man rush. Has to step up in the pocket, and Von Miller's got him for the sack. This crowd's going nuts. Ed Oliver in to help him, but Von Miller was there first.
Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to see comedian Tammy Pescatelli at Rob's Playhouse Theater on November 30th. Tickets available at playhousetix.com.
I want to give Sean McDermott his flowers this morning. I think Sean McDermott coached a heck of a game last night. They're up 2 points. They go for it on fourth. The courage, the wherewithal, the trust in your team to be like, you know what? We're going for it again. I do not want to give Mahomes the ball with a 5-point deficit in the fourth quarter. We have to keep going for it. We have to put our foot to the gas. Sean McDermott is often a punching bag. Sean McDermott is never coach of the year. Sean McDermott outcoached his mentor, Andy Reid, last night. Credit to Sean McDermott. That team played great. The coaching staff came prepared.
Peter Schrager this morning. Can I be a little snarky here?
Go for it.
I wish we could have people follow us around in our life and call us courageous for making decisions that are statistically sane.
Right.
You're playing blackjack and you've got a 10 against a 6, and you're like,
oh, the courage on
hit
that
me.
One.
Look at this aggressive. Look, trusting the cards. Like McDermott's 4th-and-2 call was one of the biggest goes. Yeah. It was a big flashing green light.
Yeah.
Had he not gone, he'd have been taken apart. And he should have been if he had not gone. Like I don't think that was a hard one. 4th-and-2 where they were, not a hard one. So, you know, it's football still always coming to terms with doing the right thing is aggressive. Mm-hmm. Not punting is aggressive. You know, isn't
I think technically aggressive should be doing the thing
risky. Like it's I got a feeling here. I'm going to get nuts. I'm going to kick it and play defense. I mean, you know, we always view offense as aggressive and defense as conservative, but going there was very obvious. And it is, I don't know who would do the work to do this. I bet you can't find him giving up 4 points of win probability on a kick in a long time.
Yeah. Maybe since that we always bring up
the
that
AFC Championship
AFC
game.
AFC Championship game.
Yeah, where he was kicking field goals down 12 or whatever.
Which was almost 4 years ago.
Yeah,
now,
you don't find it. It's almost a way that as Peter Schrager there says, he's a punching bag. He doesn't get enough credit because he doesn't do that. Mike Tomlin does it every week.
Yeah.
Andy Reid had one in this game. When the Chiefs had a 4th-and-1 from their own 29, that was a +4 to go. Green light go. What'd they do? They did the fake snap count punt. That was he cost his team. And McDermott often doesn't cost his team. There have been some cases, but he is pretty good.
If the Bills win out, does McDermott have a look at Coach of the Year?
No.
Even if they win the rest?
I don't think so. Because there are some really good ones that exist. Dan Campbell exists. Jim Harbaugh exists. Mike Tomlin exists.
What, I guess, separates Dan Campbell from McDermott, though, here? Just that he's coached a couple fewer years?
Maybe.
Because if they both are two-loss teams.
He has Jared Goff, and McDermott has Josh Allen.
That's the right point.
I think Mike Tomlin is a real good one here. I mean, Tomlin is Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
Yep.
You could go
You could go to Harbaugh.
Sure.
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh, 7-3.
An organization that has been a chaotic circus for their entire existence. Finding ways to lose games, and now they find ways to win games.
It's a couple losses in a row, but you could get to Dan Quinn.
I think he was the favorite last week. Yeah. But they're starting. They're the 7 seed all of a sudden, like that quickly. Yeah. They've had a couple losses in a row. They would have had more than that in a row if they hadn't had the Hail Mary, too.
803-0550. Get some more calls in here. Joe in Rochester. Hey, Joe.
Hi, how are you guys?
Morning, good.
Yeah, hey, I don't know if you've already talked about it, but one thing I noticed during the game was that our first downs, we only got 2, maybe 3 yards on our first downs all through the game. That's what set us back when you were stating, hey, on third down, we had a lot of third and longs. I think the key was that first down, we just could not, no matter what we did, we just couldn't get get it going. And, you know, kudos to Kansas City's run. But I think that's why we were had those third longs, because our first downs were just terrible.
Yeah. Let me find for you what they did on – I mean, didn't it feel like every first down was like for 2 yards?
Well, the first play of the game for them is a first down pass for 1 yard, second down run for 3 yards, it's third and six. And then that's the throw to Cooper, which is a big one. First and 10, pass, Shakir, 11. First and 10, incomplete deep right. Second and 10, run for two. Like, if you want me to find the first down runs, what they got on first down.
I've got it right here.
They got a 3 yard touchdown from James Cook on a first and goal. But first down runs?
First down runs. Here is how many in order of the game. Let's start with the first quarter. There we go. No gain, 3 yards, three, 5 yards.
Three was the touchdown.
Three was the touchdown. Okay, yeah. So that's good. 5 yards, 1 yard, 6 yard touchdown, minus one, three, two, one, one, two, minus one, no gain.
Yeah, like, thank goodness for the touchdowns.
The touchdowns were their only good first down runs the whole game.
Yeah.
That's it. Everything else was no gain. Like, what was the highest was three. And that was actually a scramble by Allen. So it doesn't even really count. Or it does count, I guess. But
no, but it
kind of doesn't.
It kind of doesn't. And I don't sound like, you know, they won. We're thrilled about it. But if you're digging down into, like, all right, what's the thing you didn't like? How did they hurt themselves? What did they overcome? They overcame their run. I thought they overcame their run game.
Well, why did their run game stink?
Because
Brown didn't play? Did the Chiefs sell out to stop the run in this game against the Bills? The Chiefs, are they just that good?
The Chiefs' run defense is that good. And to run into the teeth of it, which they did, maybe, you know, again, it's you want to keep them honest? You want to make that point? Okay, I can listen to that. The Chiefs have done that to everybody. The best running game against the Chiefs, I think, Chiefs-Niners might have been it? I think, who was
the Niners ran on them?
No.
Or you're saying the opposite?
They tried. And Jordan Mason in that game was 14 for 58.
Right.
I think that's the biggest number anybody's put up. I know, because James Cook's over-under in this game, I think, was 64, and I felt like it was the easiest under ever. No one is running on that team. And part of this is, and we'll see, like, again, the Chiefs are 9-1, and they're feeling really good because, oh, fine, you lost the game, whatever. If teams throw on the Chiefs, they've got a better chance.
Yeah, it's working right now.
The Chiefs are giving up points in the pass game. While the Bills are the first team to get 30 on them in quite some while, Denver, Bo Nix had a good day against them. Baker had a decent day against them. Lost on a coin toss. Baker's throwing it to guys you've never heard of and doing just fine. So they might be in for a bit of a challenge here with their pass defense. And that gets to the playoffs too. Like, if they play the Ravens a second time, if they play the Bengals again, those are two teams that they beat. Very close games, but their pass defense in the last month has not been the same since they lost, I think his name is Jalen Watson. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. To Anthony in Texas. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I agree with everything you're saying about the run plays and you know, being in second and long, third and long. And that's why it's, you know, I'm a Sean McDermott supporter. I always have been. I always balked at culture, but you can literally see there is a culture, not just in the locker room, but even in the fan base. So I love Sean, but we're not talking about Sean today if Josh Allen doesn't put this team on his back. And, you know, the third and eight, that we're not going to be able to make a living like that. Right in the playoffs, you know, I think about some of the good defenses, Steelers defense, right? That defense terrifies me if we're in third and eight, third and nine all day long. So, you know, I think like Sean, I'm not saying he's not deserving of Coach of the Year, but Josh is definitely more deserving of MVP than the coach is of Coach of the Year. So, and I think one other thing is, you know, this team can be great. We have not even played our best football yet on offense, and hopefully we can get there when we get these guys healthy, but that could be a scary thing. So I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Thanks, Anthony.
I don't know if you can really say they haven't played their best on offense. They've been
pretty good.
I mean, they've scored 30 points five games in a row. Yeah, they've scored 30 points five games in a row. So, you know, maybe. Do they probably have another Jacksonville game in them somewhere. don't they?
Hopefully. I mean,
where they just look unstoppable beginning to end.
Is that about them, or is that everybody's doing that to Jacksonville?
That might be right. Is there another Jacksonville out there?
The Lions hung a 50 burger up.
Maybe not on the Bills' schedule. There might be other Jacksonvilles out there, but
Who could the Bills put 30 up against?
Yeah,
of their remaining opponents?
If I told you they're going to score, not even 30. Like, they're going to have one more of those 47 point games where it's just ridiculous. Who's most likely to happen against? Rest of their schedule.
I've got a pick for you.
Go ahead.
The Rams.
Okay. That's in 2 weeks. Well, yep. Two games, 3 weeks.
They could put up 40 on the Rams. Drake May looked pretty good against the Rams.
Yep.
Teams are throwing on the Rams. They have a good pass rush. They've got two good young pass rushers, but
you don't think they'd be able to cover the Bills?
No. I mean, I would pick them to score at will against the Rams.
I'm going to pick the Jets.
The Jets not a bad pick either.
Especially by week 17. There will be no motivation for the Jets by week 17. What's their record going to be? Like 4-11 by that point? 4-12? That'll be a fun day once we get there.
803-0550. Extendo Sports, then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Alex Ovechkin had a hat trick yesterday.
Nice.
He is 29 goals away from Gretzky's record, and just doing some math on this, Ovechkin is currently on pace to break Gretzky's record on February 22nd in Pittsburgh.
All right, let's go.
Would that be weird at all?
No.
His biggest rival of his career doing it there? They'd probably give him a standing ovation.
What are the other opponents right around there?
He plays home against Utah the game before.
That's funny. That's the one.
Home against Utah.
Yep.
Utah? Okay. home against Edmonton the next game.
Okay.
That would be good because Gretzky would be there.
Are the Sabres within like 2 weeks of there anywhere?
No. The Sabres are 23 games from now. He's not going to have it by then. And then March 30th. So if he goes on a... He's going to slow down at some point. So March 30th is possible, but he's going to have to slow down a lot.
Yeah.
He's on pace for like 55 goals right now, so he probably will.
Right. All right. Texans and Cowboys tonight. Cowboys Giants on Thanksgiving is Cooper, is it Trey Lance and Tommy DeVito?
Oof. Jeez. That's what it's looking like. Cooper Rush.
Meanwhile, Netflix, what's going on? Are they going to be able to air football games? Will they have a backup plan? Will the NFL be able to push a button and put them on ESPN at a moment's notice because they can't air football because the fight didn't go well?
It was buffering. You couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
It was back and forth. Like, you were cutting out every other...
I thought about watching it, and then I realized it wasn't happening until midnight, and I was like, oh, screw that. Going to bed. We'll be back tomorrow. Happy Victory Monday.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.